We're in the midst of a series of lessons on what's going to happen after we die, after the Lord returns, after the resurrection, and after we enter into heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 states that we don't look at the things that are seen. We look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. How do we do that? How do we look at the unseen? Well, we walk by faith and not by sight, but sometimes we can't see the unseen. And I think the lesson that we are going to be looking at this morning illustrates that point. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How do I see that? I've never seen him as he is. We know he dwells in light unapproachable. We know that he is omnipotent, that he is all-knowing, all-powerful, that he has tremendous attributes. When we see Jesus, we will be like him. What do we draw? How do you see that verse? There's another one like it. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Once again, how do we see that? Jesus will take our lowly body, this one, and transform it. That's the same basic Greek word as metamorphosis. It means to change form. Jesus will change our form to conform to his glorious body. So when we see Jesus, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is, because he is going to transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. And then he illustrates it with this: according to the working by which he is able even to subject all things to himself. Now, in the next slide, we're going to talk a little more about this, but the fact is that Jesus was able to take the dust of the ground and form a man. Jesus was able to take the materials and make all of the stars and all of the planets and all of the animals and all of the birds and all of the elements. He is able to subject all things to himself, and it's that power that is going to bring about the resurrection. So what Jesus has already done, the scene, is the basis for what he will do, the unseen. So all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So once again, when God said in the beginning, "Let there be light," the Word who became flesh made the light. When God said, "Let the dry ground appear," when God said, "Let the sun, the moon, and the stars," all things were made through him. Colossians 1, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth." And then Philippians 3 again, "According to the working by which he is able to subject all things to himself." So this is the undergirding, this is the foundation of the resurrection. The resurrection, as we read about it in 1 Corinthians 15, is based on the fact that we will see him as he is, that he will conform our lowly body to his glorious body, and that he will bring it about with the same power that he created all the other bodies. So here's how Paul begins the process of allowing us to see the unseen. He says, "Someone will say, 'How are the dead raised? And with what body do they come?'" Now, those are my interests. Aren't those your interests? Isn't that exactly what we would like to know? How are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? Are we ready for the verse 36, foolish one? That's a foolish question. Paul says you shouldn't ask that question. That's a baby question. That's a first principle question. And then he makes the illustration again from the seen to the unseen. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow the body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. So he illustrates it now with all of the seeds, the strawberry seed, the tomato seed, the apple seed, the pumpkin seed. The body that comes from that seed is not amazing to us. We see seeds go into the ground, rot away. If you were to dig it up after the plant comes up, it won't be there. It's rotted away. Just like our body will rot away. It will go back to the dust. But that doesn't matter. God knows how to take and make something else from it. And so he then moves. And what I'd like to do with this passage is show you how he is going to use each day of the creation and show us how on each day of the creation, Jesus was able to subject all things to himself. And he was able to make the bodies that God asked him to make, just like he will on the last day. So God gave it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. Now that's the third day of creation. When we go to Genesis chapter 1, and we read God saying, let the earth bring forth and bud, and let it produce seeds after its kind. Jesus did it. He subjected himself. He subjected all things to himself. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men and another kind of flesh of animals. Now that's recorded on the sixth day of creation. Let all the animals, creeping things, cattle, and let us make man in our image. Another of fish and of birds. That's the fifth day of creation. There are also celestial bodies, the sun, the moon, and the stars, which is the fourth day of creation, and terrestrial bodies, which is the earth, and that's recorded on the first through the third days of creation, again on the fifth and the sixth days. The glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. And, of course, that's the fourth day of creation. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you sit down and read Genesis chapter 1, if we didn't have the material creation to look at, and God said, I'm going to make birds, what would we visualize? I'm going to make birds that fly. I'm going to put fish under the water so they can swim. I'm going to put animals on the land. Of course, we didn't realize it, but there were so many different kinds of terrains. There's the Arctic. There's Africa and the jungles. There's the tropics. There's the places that God understood they were going to live, and he made them a body. The fish have a body that can live under the water. Different flesh. The birds have another different type of flesh because they live in the air. And the animals all have different flesh depending on where they are. Whether it's a polar bear or a tiger or a lion or an amphibian or a reptile. And so as we look at this, he tells us that God gave each a body as it pleases. Now, let's ask the question again. How are the dead raised and with what body do they come? Foolish one, look around you, he says. If you want to see the unseen, look at the seen. Look at the plants and understand that what God did with each plant, he made a seed and he made a body. He made a seed and he made a body. Over and over again, you put the seed in the ground, the seed rots away, and the body comes forth. So we see the third day of creation, we see the sixth day of creation, we see the fifth day of creation, the fourth day. So each day of creation is an illustration of the resurrection. It's how you see the unseen. So from now on, when you see the stars, you see the moon, you see the sun, you think about the unseen. Now, let's talk about how we're going to do that. So on the third day, God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb that yields seed and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. Now we know God the Father said it, and we know that the Word who was with God and was God made it, subjecting all things to himself. He took the dust of the earth, just like he did for man. He took the dust of the earth. He made all of the seeds and all of the bodies for those seeds. And then Paul asks the question, how are the dead raised up and what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive until it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow the body that shall be, but a mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other. But God gives it a body as he pleases. To each seed, its own body. Now, we can only visualize this because it's all around us. But when God says, I'm going to make a new heavens and a new earth, we can understand that in the spiritual realm, he's going to do exactly the same thing. I suspect only better. I believe that God already knew before he created the heavens and the earth that it would be temporary. That he was going to have to send his son to die on the cross. And so God made a world that was just going to be temporary. And yet, look at it. This is the world that God knew was going to be thrown away. This is the world that he knew was going to be burned up. And yet, as you look at the beauty and the complexity of it, you get the feeling, what's he going to do when he makes a permanent world that we're going to live at throughout all eternity? You think it's going to be worse than this? Or far better? And so it allows us to imagine that what God has already done reveals the magnitude of what he can and will do. And I don't know about you, but that causes the heart to soar. And you start imagining it's going to be so much better. It's going to be so much more exciting. So many more things. You say, how do you know that? Because God is love. And God has promised. So we look at the seed and we understand that as the seed is rotting away, you see the seed rotting away here, and the roots are coming out of this rotting away seed, and the plant is coming up. Why is it hard to understand the resurrection? Why is it that we can't comprehend that a spiritual body is going to come forth from the material body? What you sow is not made alive until it dies. And you do not sow the body that shall be. We understand that. So no matter what seed, the process is identical. So you imagine the seed, then you try to imagine the plant. So we see the sunflower seed. We see the sunflower plant. We see the pumpkin seed. We see the pumpkin. You already know what the plant looks like because you've seen it. We see the acorn and the oak tree. Could you imagine the body from that little thing we call an acorn that could produce the tree that you see next to it? Could we imagine that the sunflower seed could produce? And that's just the beginning of what God's able to do. We see the corn seed, and then we see the plant. We see the tomato seed. We see the almond. And then we see the plant. Now, that's the resurrection. Paul says, you foolish one, don't you understand this? The resurrection will work just like this. So now I understand the unseen. Out of this lonely body will come. So my soul that I now have in this body will someday be removed to Hades, then brought back to a spiritual body. It's not my words, but Jesus who said, all who are in the tombs will come forth. Some to the resurrection of judgment, some to the resurrection of life. But Jesus makes it clear that the soul will come back And from that body will be produced the spiritual body. Now, we see the same thing in so many other trees and so many other plants. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we have a lot of pictures to look at, but I just want us to recognize something. When God says, I'm going to make seeds, nobody could have imagined how multiplying that would be. I mean, we've only got a few up here. There are literally thousands, probably tens of thousands of different varieties of trees and shrubs and vegetables, of grains, of wildflowers, of weeds, seed after seed after seed, all doing the same thing, put in the ground, coming forth. Does God know how to make bodies for seeds? Then he says this, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. So what God did with plants, let me rephrase that, what God and Jesus did with plants on the third day of creation reveals the ability and process by which he will, on the last day, do exactly the same thing. Now, that's how we see the unseen. Every time we see a plant now, we start thinking about the resurrection. Every time you see a seed, you start thinking about the resurrection. And you have something to visualize. Because the seed that you put in the ground and the plant that comes forth are so different. And that's how we're going to be. Except so very far better. If God is going to use his own son's body as the template for our body, I can't even conceive of that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning of with God. Jesus said, glorify me the glory I had with you before the world was. That's the glory when Paul talks about corruption and incorruption and dishonor and glory and weakness and power and a natural body and a spiritual body. See yourself in the sown and see Jesus in the raised. He will conform our lowly body to his glorious body with the same ability that he had to make all the seeds out of the dirt. He can do the same thing with the spiritual substance that we will ultimately become. Well, the fifth day, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. Now, if all we had were these words, we could not begin to comprehend how amazing those two things are. Now, God knew how to make a body that would perfectly fit its environment. He knew how to make a body for a predator like a hawk or an eagle. He knew how to make a body for a bird that would eat fish out of the water. He knew how to make a body for birds that would eat seeds and fruit. He knew how to build their mouth. He knew how to make their eyes. He knew how to build their lungs and their heart for the work they were going to have to do. Same thing with the fish. He knew how to make predators like the shark or the killer whale. He knew how to make edibles like salmon or trout or bass. He knew how to make minnows. He knew how to make crawdads, lobsters. It's amazing what he has done, reveals what he can do. I found this picture. You probably can't see all of the details of it, but those are the fish in Alabama, just one state. Look at the different bodies and the different functions of each of those bodies. And that's just one realm. Then we go to Malawi, and these are the fish in that one single lake that God made there. Then we go to the fish of the sea. And we look at the amazing bodies that God designed. Who could have imagined that a fish that eats plankton, just small little or krill, could become as large as that whale? Or that shark with those teeth? God designed and executed every single one of them, and he's going to do it again, only he's going to do it on a much larger scale for an eternal home for his people. And so from the seen to the unseen, but then we go, there's another flesh of the birds. And so we look at the birds, and what do we see? Again, color, function, design, they can fly, they can eat, they can see. God put eyes, he put, it's just, again, it's amazing, the different bodies that God made under the sea, in the air. But we're not finished. There are other birds. Amazing. The peacock. Could you imagine how God figured out to make a peacock? How he even imagined to make one? I mean, when you think about someone who can figure out how to make all of these animals, all of these fish, all of these birds, all of these reptiles, all of these amphibians, and then work it out so that they can all live off each other, so that they can all function together, so that they can all do what he planned for them to do. And so, again, now this is just what, a tithe? This is just a minuscule amount of all the different bodies that God's already made. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that if you want to see the unseen, you think about what he did on the first day. There's different kinds of animals. There's different kinds of flesh for birds. Different kind of flesh for fish. Then we got the sixth day. God made the beast of the earth according to its kind. Cattle according to its kind. And everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. Then God said, let us make man in our image. And once again, all flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals. And how are the dead raised, and with what manner of body do they come? What he's already done. Paul says, if you want to be able to see the unseen, then look at the seen and imagine the unseen. So, the beasts of the earth. So we've seen the air, we've seen the water. God made different bodies for the earth. Here's the animals in the jungle. You see them. Amazing different. The elephant. Can you imagine making an elephant with a trunk that could go down and do what it does? The lion, the aardvark, the anteater, the gorilla. Then we come to the reptiles. Look at the bodies. God figured this out. This is just a small portion of them. Colors. Under the water. We see God making bodies. Beautiful bodies. Amazing bodies for a temporary world that he knew was going to all be burned up in preparations for an eternal world. I can't even imagine what God has in mind, but I know one thing. He's already shown what he can do. And he's already made it very clear that what he's going to do is very far better than what we have now. Then we have the creeping things. And again, you think about insects. God figured them out. We don't even have them on here, but you've got the grasshopper, the spider, the reptile, the scorpion. We've got the wasp and the bee. Sometimes you wonder, I wonder why God made that. What's possible? But he did. And each one of them has an ability to reproduce, and each one of them has an ability to do the function that God designed for it to do in bodies that are amazing, in colors. Then he made man in his image. Let them have dominion. So man's body is unique in the creation. He's made in the image and likeness of God. He has a body prepared to hold an eternal soul that can feel and think and communicate and plan and love. Has a tongue different from all other tongues that can speak. He has hands that can do things. He has a brain to remember, to choose, to regret, to repent, to create challenges, to live forever, to devise things that no one has ever thought of before, and then be able through mind and hand and art and wisdom. Animals can't do that. God made man's body to function exactly the same way that he made animals' bodies to function and fish's bodies to function. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, so is the resurrection. What he has already done is a parable of what he can do. So from now on, when you're watching these nature shows on Channel 9 or on video, you think about the fact. This is what the resurrection is going to be like. This is the illustrations that Paul gave for the resurrection. So instead of worshiping and serving the creature like man wants to do, talking about Mother Nature, it's not Mother Nature, it's God. God created those things. He created those things to be amazing in this life, but now Paul is telling us he also created these things so that we could grasp the resurrection and understand what God is capable of by looking at all those things. But God's not finished. He wants us to look at the first, second, third, and fourth days of creation now. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God divided the light from the darkness. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And God called the dry land earth, and he called the gathering together of water, he called seas. Now, Paul just sums it up like this. There are celestial bodies, and there are terrestrial bodies. And so God separated the firmament. The area between the earth and the clouds is the firmament. The area that we call the atmosphere. As you can see here, God created this ball of earth, and then he put this water behind it or around it. And you see it again. There's the earth. Then he separated those waters, and he made the dry land appear. And so we see the different continents that God created. This is all part of the terrestrial body. This is what God devised and planned, and it's part of the resurrection. He made the dry land appear, and then he made the terrain. Jesus made mountains, made valleys, made gold and silver to be in those valleys and in those mountains. He made the plains and the trees and the mountains. As the water separated and the dry land appeared, the terrestrial body is an amazing illustration of God's creative genius, of God's power, of God's magnificence. And Paul says, you need to factor that in the resurrection. Then we come to day four. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. Well, that's just taking what God said in Genesis chapter 1. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And once again, it's just a copy of what he can do. So there's a body for the sun. An amazing body that has been there for what? 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 years? Giving us light and heat. There are also celestial bodies. So now we see how the sun and the earth can function together in fellowship. The light creates the beauty of all that we see on the earth. I don't know how God did that. I don't know how God could take the light and make all the colors that we see in the universe today. All the different colors. All the colors of the rainbow. You can see some of the colors just right here. All by the sun. All created by the light. Then he made a body for the moon. Very different from the body of the sun. Very necessary. It creates our tides. It creates our months. It creates the gravity from the moon, creates some amazing things. Then there's bodies for the planets. each of those planets, and that's what they look like. That's the color. You see the difference in the color. You see the difference in the size. Each with a different function. Then we see size. Here you see the Earth. But compared to the Earth, here's Neptune, here's Uranus, here's Jupiter, and here's Saturn. Does God know how to make bodies? Amazing bodies. But then we come to the stars. Here we see the sun, which we saw a few minutes ago is this huge ball, but now compared to that are some of these stars, which are, as you can see, here's the sun, one pixel. One of these little dots here that you can see, that's the sun compared to this. Does God know how to make bodies? Bodies to be burned up? Why did God put all that out there? It doesn't have any function that we know of for the Earth. Those stars that are so far away, so huge, so differing from one another in glory. Paul didn't even know some of these things. We've got telescopes. The more we can see, the more we realize how amazing it is. God made a universe to be thrown away that is incredible in its complexity. God could have not done any of that. He could have just had the night be black with a moon up there. Didn't need all those stars. But he made them. So we have a terrestrial body that we live in, with water and air, seasons, perfect conditions for life, size and rotation. I'm not going to read all of this. But here's our lowly body. The first man is from Adam. Let me get all these up here. Let's look at the left column first. The first man was Adam. The last Adam is Jesus. The first comes from a natural body. The second is of heaven. As is the heavenly, so are the heavenly. He's going to conform our lowly body to his glorious body. When we see him, we'll be like him. As is the heavenly, so is the heavenly. We have borne the image of the earth, or the earthy. We will also bear the image of the heavenly. Once again, what he has done, he made Adam, he made Eve. And then, through Adam and Eve, he made all of us. And each one of us has a glorious body that can do so many wonderful things. How did the psalmist put it? I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knows right well. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. Afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so are those who are made of heavenly. So apparently there's going to be some kind of spiritual dust, just like there was physical dust, and we are going to be made out of spiritual. So our food will be spiritual instead of material, and our air or whatever God has. I don't know. Maybe none of that will exist anymore. He does speak of a fruit, the fruits of the tree of life. He does speak of water coming forth from the throne. He does speak of a city whose builder and maker is God. He does speak of gold and silver and pearls and jasper and all sorts of things like that that are going to illustrate the beauty of what's going to be there. That we're going to be in a heavenly country. Verse 49, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now, this is as far as we can go. We can look at the material creation, each of the days of creation. And Paul says you can look at anything you want on any day of the creation to help you understand the resurrection of the dead. So that's what we're eagerly waiting for. Eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now, our body will be redeemed when it is conformed to his glorious body, when we see him as he is. And as we've borne the image of the earthly man, we will bear the image of the heavenly man. So we're eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now, we can take all the information that we've just talked about and build ourselves a beautiful picture of what's coming and get excited about it, or we can just continue on without doing that. We were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it. Now, I've already looked at this verse. So, what can we take away from this? Our God knows how to plan and design bodies. He's already proven it in a throwaway universe, an eternal universe where righteousness dwells is coming. And God has already proven that he can and will make something so diverse and so incredibly amazing. I mean, we couldn't even read Genesis chapter 1 and see everything unless we had it to look at. He knows how to make each body perfectly suited for whatever it is he wants them to do. He can make bodies to fly, bodies to live under the water, bodies to live hundreds of feet under the water that are not crushed, bodies to give light, bodies to give heat, bodies that will sustain life. Does this help us visualize the body conformed to his glory? Well, there's some limitations here, but I think we can get excited enough. You know, if nothing else, this sermon certainly gives us the ability to glorify God for his creative genius. But Paul says, take it one step further, because his creative genius has not yet been exhausted. It's still got one more step. We will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And he will conform our lowly body to his glorious body in exactly the same way that he did everything in Genesis chapter 1. It is not yet and cannot yet be manifested. This is powerful information. It can change our world, our priorities, and our fears, and our excitements, and our goals, and our anticipation, eagerly waiting, he says. All it takes is faith. Look at what you can see. Visualize what you can't see. That's all God is asking us to do. And so, brethren, as we finish our lesson and we open up our songbooks, we have an opportunity to spend eternity in this beautiful new creation. God has another body he's going to make as well. It's called hell. It's a place of darkness, of dismal nature, of fire burning. That's a body I hope I never see. But those who die in faith, not having received the promises, are looking for a country. God is not ashamed to be called their God. And so we sing number 297. Let's give careful thought to what we're doing with our body. Are we using our body to prepare for eternity, or are we using our body to prepare for eternity? What did I mean by that? Heaven or hell? Both eternal. As we sing a song, if we can help you in any way, please let us know as we together stand and sing.